says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The truth about God is that he is like a shepherd, and a good shepherd cares for his flock even when his flock doesn't trust him. A good shepherd cares for his flock even when they're not listening. And a good shepherd intentionally builds and fosters a relationship of trust. And the goal of every believer should be to hear and trust the voice of Jesus. To hear and trust the voice of Jesus, because that is how you would define lordship. To hear and trust the voice of Jesus. God has often been, throughout history, God has been portrayed as angry and upset, vengeful. And I understand you can find those things in Scripture. But God has often been portrayed from this angry tone and slant, that he's this God that sets these impossible standards and then punishes those who don't meet them. And then you're told, make that God the Lord of your life. But the fact is he's a good shepherd. Christians that have known, you know, that have had good intentions, but honestly a bad understanding of who God is, have really done a lot of damage to the good news of Jesus. Lordship is to hear and trust the voice of Jesus. You might have areas of your life, maybe significant areas of your life, where you're not listening, where you're not following Jesus. But know this morning. You were actually created to be in relationship with God. You were created to know him, to know his voice, to walk in his ways. It is what he desires from you. You maybe weren't born into that. You were born into sin, but that was not God's plan for humanity. God's plan is that you would know him, you would walk in his ways, you would hear his voice and trust him. He's faithful even when you're not. He's good even when you're stubborn and rebellious. Nobody's here stubborn and rebellious, right? I know. The line just starts right here and it's everybody on this side. My sheep hear my voice, right? I know them and they follow me. The goal of your life should be to hear and trust the voice of Jesus, because that's what lordship looks like. So you have no control over what God does or how he responds to you. So you can be stubborn, and you know what? He's still going to be faithful and good to you. You might get to experience the consequences of your choice, but he's still good. He's still faithful to you. He'll still tend to you, even when you're stubborn and rebellious. You don't get to control him or what he does or how he responds to you. The only part of your life that you have control over is the direction of your heart and mind and who it's pointed towards, whether or not you trust him with what you're facing. If you trust him. See, it's a lordship issue. Some of the pain and the problems of your life that are in your life right now, quite honestly, are lordship issues. Some of your worry and your anxiety are not the actual problem. It's a lordship issue. It's a trust issue. Like, oh, I thought I was going to enjoy today's message. That kind of hurts. Thanks, Steve. It's true, though. You worry, you have anxiety, you're looking at the things that are in your life and they seem big and overwhelming. And they seem like they're going to crush you. And the resurrected Jesus is standing waiting, saying, you think that's going to defeat me? It's a lordship issue. It's a trust issue. He wants you to trust him. You were designed and created to trust him, but you have to make the choice to follow, to follow. The rest of the psalm begins to describe the benefits of trusting him, of following him. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." So this doesn't mean you have or get everything you want. It's not what this is talking about. But it is talking about the fact that you trust your shepherd to take care of you. It's the recognition that Jesus meets the deepest need of your heart. It's about peace and a place of trust, regardless of what's happening in your external circumstances or even just within your own heart and mind. Finding a place of trust. And you know, Matthew 6, Jesus says that we're to seek God first, to seek his kingdom, his righteousness first. When we do that, everything else will be added to your life. What that means is there's peace available in hardship. There's comfort and joy that can be found in sorrow. There's a sense of rest that comes from trusting God with your entire life. Sheep are very dependent upon their shepherd. And when they wander away, they almost always end up in trouble, in need of rescue. You maybe have experienced that in your own life with the Lord. All right, you wander away from him. It's probably just me. You wander away, and you know, a few days down the road, you look back and go, "How did I get over here? I don't know, but I'm in trouble. Jesus, can you please once again help me out?" And he's just so good that he does. Let me encourage you this morning that if you need peace, if you need comfort, if you need a place of joy or rest in your heart and your mind, then put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus, because he goes on to say that in verse 2, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now, I mean, we love the idea of green meadows and peaceful streams, don't we? I mean, come on, look where we live. Like, you know, you kid, it doesn't get much greener than here. And water all over the place. We love this idea of green meadows and peaceful streams. But understand this, the meadow and the stream is not actually the final destination that God has in mind for you. It is a stop along the road. The final destination that he has for you is to be in the house of the Lord forever, which is the last verse. It's easy to want to focus on the green meadow, the peaceful stream. We like to be comfortable, don't we? And it takes trust. It's a lordship issue when you're in the meadow, when you're beside the stream and Jesus says, "Okay, it's time to move on." Some of you have been in a meadow a really long time. You've been beside the stream way longer than you're supposed to have been. And Jesus is saying, "Come on, it's time to move on." It's a lordship issue. It's about whether or not you'll listen. This is how I kind of picture it in my head, right? You're in the green meadow, and the green meadow implies that you have enough, right? You have enough for you. And as you're there, right, you're enjoying it. It's good. It's peaceful. You're full. And Jesus comes along and says, "You have enough, so let's share. Let's give some of what you have away." And then you have a choice to make, right? Because you listen and you give it away and you experience the blessing of God in your life. Later on, talks about the cup that overflows. Or you say, "Well, wait a minute. If I share, there might not be enough for me then." Because that's how it works in the natural, right? If I share, I might not have enough. And what happens when we resist, what happens when we don't listen, is we actually miss out on the opportunity for someone else to experience Jesus as a shepherd in their life in the way that we have. What he desires is for us to say, hey, come on in. There's all kinds of room here in the meadow. Let me give you my nice comfy spot beside the stream. Because the Lord has led you here to this moment, and he's calling me on to whatever is next for me. We have to be willing to go where he tells us to go, to do what he tells us to do. It's a trust issue. And why does he do this? Because we want to focus on the green meadow and the peaceful stream. We like the analogy of that. We like how it sounds. But the fact is, the actual important part of that verse isn't the green meadow or the stream. It's that he leads us in the right way, it says. He leads us in his ways. And why does he do that? He does it to bring glory to his name. That is the purpose of your life. It's one of the purposes of your life, is to bring glory, recognition, honor to his name. It isn't to get comfy in a big, nice field or by a stream and say, I'm just going to wait here until I get to go and be in the house of the Lord forever. No, it's to bring glory and honor to him. Your life no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Jesus. And your life is now about bringing honor, glory, recognition to him, to his names. And one of the benefits of trusting him is the privilege of bringing recognition to his name. For him to receive the credit for your life, even when you walk through deep and dark things and difficult things, and you find yourself in places of peace, you find yourself in places of feeling full, even when everything around you says that you should be drained empty. And you say, this is the Lord's work in my life. And it brings him glory and recognition. It brings the credit, the honor to him. Because life isn't all about green meadows and peaceful streams. We know this, right? We'd like that. We'd like it to be all about green meadows and peaceful streams, but it isn't. Because it goes on and it says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. In Israel, when they wanted to take their flock from one pasture to another, they would often have to travel through valleys. And those valleys would have rocky paths. Okay, so lots of like high rocks, high cliffs, and many times the paths were quite narrow to the point where they would have to even just single file, a shepherd and single file with their sheep through. And lots of times the valleys are actually so so deep that even in the daylight, the sun can't reach all the way to the bottom. And so it would be very dark in the midst of the valley, even in the daytime. It was a great opportunity. It was a great place for an animal to attack, a predator or a thief to come in and attack. And so shepherds, the sheep would have to really trust their shepherd. And in that, shepherds knew how to fight. Shepherds knew. David talks about killing the lion and the bear. Shepherds knew how to fight. They knew how to protect their flock. Trust. Part of trusting God is not taking matters into your own hands as much as you might want to. Have you ever thought that you knew what God wanted in a situation and you went ahead and did it and had it not maybe go so great? Because you have to let him fight for you. You have to let him lead you and guide you. He knows how to fight for you. He knows what you're walking through. I love the Passion translation of fear will never conquer me because you already have. Lots of times fear makes us try and take control of things and make things happen when God just asks us to wait and to trust him and let him guide us through the dark valley. Do you trust him? Do you trust him even when your life isn't going by the plan that you had laid out? If when your life isn't going the way you want, do you still trust him? Because his desire then is to prepare for you a feast, which he talks about in the next verses. In the dark valley, he's close beside you. Sometimes you get to know God. Sometimes it's in the dark valley. You get to know God in a way that you wouldn't have in the pasture or beside the stream. You get to know a God that comes really close. That even in the darkness, you can hear him right there saying, I'm with you. I've got you. I'll take care of you. You get to know him in a way that you maybe and probably wouldn't have if you didn't walk through the dark valley. And he does that because he desires for us to know him, to trust him, to hear his voice, and to follow. Goes on, right, verse 5, it says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. So, you know, this goes beyond just the dark valley where enemies are lurking and waiting to attack. It goes into this place where the enemies are not just waiting and you don't just suspect they're there. You can see them. You know that your life is under attack. They're present. And it's there in the presence of your enemies that God says, I'm setting up dinner. Let's have a feast. He says, come on. Come on. There's a place to sit down. Enjoy me. Talk with me. I'm already close in the dark valley. I'm not going anywhere else. He says, like, I'm not moving further away just because we're going to sit down at a table, right? I mean, think about that. You know, what's a table represent for us? Nourishment, relationship, family, care. It's a place to sit down, a place to recline, and you have to trust him to lead you through the dark valley, to reach this moment of sitting at a table even when enemies are present. I mean, just think about that in the natural, right? If you go home and you sit down at your table and somebody's behind you like with a gun to your head, how relaxed are you going to be? And God says, I prepare a table for you. I prepare a feast in the presence of your enemies. And we let the enemy get our attention. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Who prepares the table? God does. We don't prepare it. He does. So his plan, his purpose, is to actually have us be comfortable and okay in the presence of our enemy. What do you want in the presence of your enemy? My experience with most Christians is they want to flee. And they want to run back to the peaceful meadow, the green meadow and the peaceful stream. And God says, no. God says, that's not how this works. You can find a place of feasting, even in the presence of your enemies. He's perfectly comfortable with you being in the presence of your enemies. If he's comfortable with it, shouldn't we be? I know we're often not, but we should be, right? The reason that he's comfortable with it is because his presence is superior. His presence is more powerful. And his presence is in you. See, I've noticed that in faith, a lot of believers like to be focused on what the enemy is doing instead of feasting at the table with Jesus. The plans and the purposes of the enemy disappear in the presence of God. Death and destruction are the fingerprints of the enemy, but God can shift things in such a way that everything can begin to work to his advantage. everything works to his advantage. This is how good, this is how big and powerful he is. Everything works to his advantage. He's not anxious. He's not worried. God doesn't, he doesn't sit, he doesn't prepare the table and go, oh shoot, the enemy's right there. What are we going to do? Right? He doesn't say that. He says, ignore him. Ignore him. We're here together, you and me. You focus on me. Because the plans and purposes of the enemy disappear in the presence of God. And when we come in, because this is an Old Testament scripture, when you come into the New Testament, Jesus would look at it and say, I've actually defeated, disarmed the enemy. So he can stand there and threaten you all he wants, but that's all they are. Their words, their threats. God says, I'm not anxious. I'm not worried about the enemy that's right there. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Tell me about your day. Scripture says, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, through prayer, present your needs to God so that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Jesus. Look at your shepherd. Watch him. Focus on him. Center your life on him. And what happens when you feast in the presence of your enemy, God responds to your trust. He responds to your trust in the presence of your enemy. He honors you because you've honored him. And then he anoints you and your cup overflows. Now, in the Old Testament, oil is used in anointing. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There's a fellow, his name's Philip Keller, and he wrote a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. He had sheep for, I forget, 40 years. And then after 40 years of taking care of sheep, he wrote this book. And one of the things he talks about is this. He talks about it's a great book. It's worth looking up. A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. He talks about this. He says that sheep will not eat or lay down or rest if it's being swarmed by bugs. They won't eat, they won't rest, they won't lay down if they're being swarmed by bugs. And there's one particular fly that likes to land on the nose of a sheep and lay eggs. And when they hatch, the larvae burrow into the skin and cause infections. He's described that some sheep have even killed themselves in an effort to get the bugs out of their nose. That's that not so smart thing. A good shepherd's solution to this is to coat the sheep's head with oil before the bugs can even attack, because the oil prevents the bugs from being able to bite or to lay eggs. And he describes that the oil has to be applied on a regular basis during bug season. But I mean, the application's pretty obvious, right? The anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is meant to protect you from the ways that the enemy wants to harass you. He wants to bite at you and infect your life. So I want to ask you, are you pursuing the Spirit of God daily? Are you actively trying to hear his voice? Asking him to lead you. Asking him to speak truth to you. Because when the enemy is harassing you, God wants that to be a motivation in your life to pursue him more. Not to run away and to hide, to go your own way. But to pursue him, to trust him. See, the Holy Spirit's a person. You can talk to him directly. And he desires that. So verse 6, it says, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Why do we need to trust God? Why do you need to trust him with your whole life? Why do any of us need to trust him with our whole life? Why do we need to trust him when he leads us to the green pasture or away from it? Why should we trust him in the darkest valley or in the presence of our enemy? It's because it's in that place of complete trust, of that place of dependence upon God, that you can know his goodness and loving kindness. See, it says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Lots of times believers, we spend our time pursuing the goodness. We spend our time and effort pursuing unfailing love. And God says, no, that's not how that works. You pursue me, and goodness and unfailing love pursues you. You follow Jesus, and goodness and unfailing love chases you down. It chases you down, and then it spills out of your life onto others. God's destination for you is to live with Him forever. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't start when you take your last breath. To live with Him forever doesn't begin when you die. It begins the moment you make Him the Lord of your life. And He forgives you and He resurrects your spirit. That you would live in His house forever. That starts here. To live in His ways, in His purposes. In fact, in the New Testament, Peter talks about the fact that Jesus is, right, the living stone, and we are being made into a spiritual house. The house of the Lord is actually right here. It's His desire that your home, that your house be filled with goodness and unfailing love. And the way that you see that is to pursue Him with all that you have. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity as we pray. You to make Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe for the first time. Maybe it's just again. And that's okay. That's okay. Because it's a choice that we make. Right? You the only thing that you control, that you can control, is the direction of your head and heart. Who will you trust? Let me encourage you to make Him Lord right here, right now. You might find yourself in a dark valley. And you might have to say, okay, I'm in a dark valley, so Jesus, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to say You're the Lord of this dark valley. You might find yourself not just in the dark valley, but in the very presence of enemies. You say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to make You the Lord here right now. Or maybe you're in the green pasture or the peaceful stream, and Jesus is saying, get going. And you have to say, okay, Lord, I'll trust You. I'll trust You. Can you do that? I know you can. You're a good bunch of people. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You so much. Thank You that You guide us, that You lead us, that You are a good shepherd. So right where you are right now, if you've got things in your life that you need to surrender, that you need to make Him the Lord of, just encourage you right where you are just to do that right now with Him. You can say it out loud, or you can just say it in your head and your heart, but surrender it new and fresh to Him today. If you're here and you're being harassed by the enemy, begin to seek the Holy Spirit, His anointing, His covering over your life. New and fresh, commit to Him that you'll trust Him to guide you and lead you. Because what He desires is that goodness and unfailing love pursues you. That tomorrow you'll look back at what is today and you'll just see this overflowing cup of goodness and unfailing love. It'll be in your life, but more than that, it'll just spill out into the lives of people all around you. Because new and fresh, you've dedicated your life to Him to be the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you that you guide and you lead. And God, we trust you even when we don't understand. We're trying to trust you even when we don't understand, God. Help us, Lord, we surrender new and fresh to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We encourage you that as you go from here, that tomorrow morning, before you do anything, before you go anywhere, just pause. Maybe you want to read Psalm 23 and just pause and say, Jesus, today I want to hear your voice. I want to obey. I want you to be the Lord of all that I do, of all that I say. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. Because it's in that place that you will find peace and comfort. It's in that place that you'll be able to feast even in the presence of enemies. That we would experience your goodness and unfailing love, oh God. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. And let's respond to the Lord in worship this morning. Pastor John, I'll dismiss you in a minute.
Sing, see a victory again.